Take your Bibles, and we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. But before you go to Proverbs chapter 3, go ahead and start in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, I mentioned this morning that, Lord willing, we're going to be finishing up this entire series of Proverbs tonight. And really, we're going to turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 here in a little bit, because I thought, what better way for us to end a series in wisdom and looking to God for wisdom than to really challenge us to only live a life that is dependent upon God. We could go to wisdom for so many other places, and we could find it in so many other arenas and areas of life. But in conclusion, I think it's really important for us to walk away from any series saying, Lord, continue to teach me through your word. Lord, help me to always be dependent on you for wisdom and for you to guide my life. But I'm having us turn to Proverbs chapter 1 again tonight, because similar to this morning, I want to remind us where we started in this series. And the very first message that we preached in this series was from verses 1 through 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 again this evening. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And I wanted us to remember what we said was the purpose of Proverbs in verses 1 through 6. And I started off our whole entire series, and you don't have to copy these down, this is all review. I started off our whole entire series in Proverbs with a very wordy first point. I was looking back and I was like, man, people think it's hard to copy stuff down right now. I was not nice at all that very first night. But this was a carefully thought through first point, because it starts and it says the Proverbs of Solomon. Then verse 2, it says, in order, this is written so that you can know wisdom and instruction. And so what does this book do? Well, according to verse 2, about talking about knowing wisdom, it will give us an intimate knowledge. That's that word know there. That speaks of an intimate knowledge, an intimate relationship there. It's the word that's often a husband-wife relationship where Adam knew his wife Eve. But this book will give us an intimate knowledge of how to skillfully make the right choices at the right time. That's what wisdom is. It's skillful living. It's how the people that built the tabernacle were described, where the Lord said, "See, I have filled these people with wisdom so that they can cunningly craft together this tabernacle." They're skilled in this area. So wisdom is skillful living. So Proverbs promises to give an intimate knowledge of how to skillfully make the right choices at the right time. We noted also at the start of the series, talking about to know instruction. Really, the idea behind the word instruction is correction. You could translate it that way. It will give us correction so that we can be wise. Thirdly, it tells us it will help us to discern what is truly insight. That's in the end of the second verse there, where it says to perceive or to understand, to discern the words of understanding. Really, in the Hebrew, it reads to understand the words of understanding. It's very repetitive there. But what it's teaching us there is this book will help you to discern what is truly insight. Or you could even say it'll help you understand what the Bible is saying. When you come to a passage, you're like, man, I have no idea what this means. Solomon says, well, in reading this book, hopefully that'll help you understand and interpret other wise sayings. It'll help us to perceive the words of understanding. Fourthly, we know it'll help us to know what is just. After saying to perceive the words of understanding, it says to receive the instruction of wisdom, and then it says justice and judgment and equity. It helps us to know what is righteous, what is right, what is just. Fifthly, we noted here in the opening verses, it helps the naive person gain cleverness, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. There's a lot of different people in Proverbs. You have the fool, you have the wise person, you have the scorner. We could go on. But one of those people is the simple person. And the simple person is not a fool, but neither are they wise. They're kind of caught in the middle there. They can go one way or the other. They're a naive person. They just don't know any different. But in reading and working through the series in Proverbs, hopefully, if you found yourself naive, hopefully that you have gained cleverness. You've gained this subtlety, this craftiness, if you will. That's what Proverbs promises. And then number six, we mentioned it'll help the wise person continue to grow. A wise man will hear, and he will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And then we ended that first message with a call saying, okay, now as we go through Proverbs, let's be the wise man that is going to continue to hear and that's going to increase in learning. Whether we're a simple person or wherever we are in our Christian life, let's make sure we're not sitting here saying, no, I don't need this. Because this book of Proverbs, all of these things, it'll give us an intimate knowledge of how to live skillfully. It'll give us correction. Have you been corrected in Proverbs? I know some of my thinking has been corrected as we've gone through this in different times in my life. It's been like, oh, I made a wrong decision there. It'll help us to discern what is truly insight or understand the words of wisdom. It'll help us to know what is just. What is the right thing for me to do? Hopefully we've learned that through this series. It'll help the naive person gain cleverness. Maybe you walked in and you're like, man, I don't know much about the book of Proverbs. Well, hopefully over these last few months, you've gained a lot of cleverness and knowledge in the book of Proverbs. And then maybe you say, well, I was already a seasoned Christian as we picked up this series. Well, the book of Proverbs promised that a wise man is going to continue to listen and he's going to increase in learning. I hope that has happened for you. I know that it's happened for me. And so the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to help every single one of us grow in wisdom for the glory of God. And that's really how we started entering into this book, saying, okay, God has something for each one of us as we work through this book. And I hope looking back, maybe there's a particular message or a series of messages on a specific topic that sticks out in your mind saying, wow, that was very beneficial and helpful for me. I hope there's something like that because God's word is not supposed to return void. It's nothing saying, oh, wow, Nathan, thank you so much. No, I'm just presenting what God's word says. This is Proverbs saying when you it's accurately understood and exposited, here are the things that are going to happen. And I hope looking back, this has happened for us. We have grown closer to God through it. And so we walked through all of these different messages after the purpose of Proverbs. And again, don't write these down. This is all review. And then we're going to conclude the series here in just a moment. We talked about the foundation for wisdom in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've had an overview. Okay, what are we even talking about when we mean wisdom? And who's going to accept it? Who's going to despise it? And then we started in and we got very specific in some of these different topics that come up in Proverbs. We spent two messages talking about wisdom in the tongue and how our speech can be speech that either glorifies God or tears other people down. We moved on and we started talking about purity. Proverbs has a lot to say to the young man, and not just to the young man, but to all of us as men in general in the area of purity. And women as well, but especially for men. Living in a culture that is very immoral. We spent a message dealing with that. We spent one message talking about wisdom and correction for all of us and how we should respond to that. We need corrected in our lives. And then we went on from there to talk about, okay, how does correction look within the family? We talked about wisdom in the family, specifically in the area of correction to raise young people. And it was interesting, a couple weeks ago, I was working back through and looking through all of these different messages, and this was about a week before Karis was due, and it was like, Lord, thank you for those reminders. I'm glad I went back and looked through that message, because those verses were an encouragement to me and a good reminder for me. Wisdom in the family. And then on Mother's Day, we went and we looked at Proverbs 31, the very end of the book of Proverbs, where it gives us a very straightforward instructions and an example of, okay, this is the godly wife, this is the godly woman. Here is the virtuous woman. She excels everyone else. And then we moved from there, and we spent three messages on wisdom and diligence. Really kind of that tact of virtuous woman, because you read Proverbs 31, and you're like, man, this lady is using her time wisely. She is intentional. She's diligent in everything that she does for the good of her husband, for the good of her household. So we spent three messages saying, okay, that's not just for ladies, that's for all of us. How should we be diligent? Proverbs has much to say about that, three messages worth on that. Then we went and we started talking about wisdom and humility and the abomination of pride, the glory of humility. Two messages on that. That was convicting for me. I remember that one. Then we moved on and we spent three messages talking about wisdom and wealth, and not just like a wealth, and just how do we steward our money? Proverbs has a lot to say on that. We probably could have stayed there even longer. But how can we be good stewards? How does God expect us to behave with our money? Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about wisdom and friendship. What is a godly friend? Who should I make as my friends? And then how can I be a godly friend? And how are we doing in that? Last week, we looked especially in Proverbs chapter 23 to see the warnings against alcohol, against intoxicating drink, wisdom and alcohol. And then this morning we talked about wisdom and joy and the abundant life that's available for us and the joyful heart that we can have when we follow the Lord and when we live righteously for Him. And so the question then is, okay, how do you conclude all of this? What's something that as we walk away from all of these different subjects, what's something that we should remember primarily about the book of Proverbs? Well, I want to conclude tonight, and you can see it up on the screen. I want us to conclude, have a conclusion that just emphasizes we must live dependently upon God in everything. Because in all of these areas, I probably could have done a survey talking about, okay, what do you think the Bible says about alcohol? What do you think the Bible has to say about joy? Just the two that are up on the screen. What do you think the Bible has to say about parenting? What do you think God wants for your speech? And we could have all written down our own opinions. Some of them would have been more biblically informed than others, depending on how long we've been sitting in churches or been reading our Bibles. But a lot of people will have a lot of different opinions on these subjects. But the only counsel, the only wisdom that has any stock in it is God and His wisdom and His words. The only way to be on the right path in life is to wholeheartedly lean only upon God and upon His direction. And this is what we see in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Then I'm going to read verse 7 as well, 7 and 8. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And I hope as we conclude this series, it will just be a good reminder for all of us that we should always and only trust God's wisdom. It's very practical. The Bible gives us answers. His wisdom is far above our own, and we should always not just retain that wisdom, but then put that wisdom into action and act upon it. Maybe you've been convicted about something over the last few months as we've worked through Proverbs, or maybe as pastors have been working through Ephesians or from other messages. Well, it's one thing for us to be convicted and to have no change, but we must also put the wisdom into action. Trust in the Lord and then put everything into action. Let Him guide you in your ways. Let those actions take root and to be fruitful in our Christian lives. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we remind us just really these simple truths from verses we're all very familiar with. We probably could have all quoted them at the start tonight, but I hope it'll be good reminders for us, and maybe we've gotten off track saying, "Lord, please put me back on track to only ever trust You." But let's pray and ask Him to give us guidance. Lord, I pray as we open Your Word now that You would speak through me. Lord, may Your Word become alive in our own hearts and our own minds. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's been trusting in their own wisdom as opposed to Yours, I pray that You would point out areas that they need to get back on track. And Lord, it's true, we all have different places in our lives where we're too confident in our own wisdom. May You convict us of that. May You drive us to be diligent in studying Your Word, diligent in prayer to understand Your ways for us. Lord, may we have a wholehearted, confident trust in You, and that we would not lean on our own understanding, but that we would follow You through this life. Lord, give us wisdom as we learn this tonight, and give us wisdom for life. Give us wisdom for living. So many questions in this church, in this world today. I pray that we would look to You for the answers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar verses, but the first thing I want us to see tonight is that we must be confident in God's wisdom. And you say, okay, I get the confidence in God where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, but what makes you say that this is in this context of wisdom? Well, it's because Proverbs 1 through 9, and I mentioned it this morning, Proverbs 1 through 9, it's different than the rest of the book where it is a train of thought that you can follow. You get into chapter 10 and the following chapters, and it's just, man, it's rapid fire, jumping from one subject to the next, to the next, to the next.
But chapters 1 through 9 is really a whole introductory thing saying you need to get wisdom. And this is seated right in here. And it's and you look down to verse number 1 of chapter 3. He opens it up saying, "My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man." And it's in this context where he says, okay, and also trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And this word trust here, this word has the idea of confidence and security in someone. It's interesting. You know that passage in Proverbs where it talks about the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous is bold as a lion? That's actually the word here for trust. It's this confidence that gives us boldness. If you look over to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 11, and I believe we emphasized this, and rightly so, when we looked at the virtuous woman. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." And then verse number 11 uses this word. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." And we mentioned this as we were working through the virtuous woman. This is major that Proverbs is saying a husband can safely trust in a wife that is characterized by these things here. Throughout Proverbs, it emphasizes, no, trust only in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this isn't the message tonight, but just a reminder, ladies, if your husband has that complete confidence in you, then your husband should be the happiest man alive. That's rare for that to be the case. But a godly wife, a godly woman is worthy of trust. And I had us turn here not just to make that point again, but because I think it also shows different things that come with this trust. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. He doesn't have fear of spoil." A husband that can have confidence and trust in his wife, he's safe. He's not worried about what's going on back at home. He's not worried about how much money she's spending. He's not worried about how she's managing the household, how she's stewarding all of that. He can safely trust in her. And Proverbs 3 verse 5 isn't urging us to safely trust in our wives, even though it's mentioned here in Proverbs 31. If you have a virtuous wife, praise the Lord, you can trust in her that way. Not many people have that. But when we put our confidence in God and when it commands us to trust in the Lord, that assures us this is a safe, confident trust in the Lord. You're putting a lot of trust on that person. Just like this passage is saying, a husband can leave the home and he doesn't have to worry about any spoil because his wife's got everything under control. He's not at work thinking and focusing on all the troubles at home. And that, if husbands, you have that type of wife, praise the Lord for that. Make sure she knows that. But the idea here as well, looking at trusting in the Lord, is that when we put our complete confidence in the Lord, we don't have anything to worry about. And so when it commands us, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, it's saying put all of your marbles in one basket and then don't take second thought about it because God's not going to let you down. So have this confidence in God. Verse number 12, speaking of the virtuous woman that's safe to be trusted in, it says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Who is someone you want to put your trust in? Well, we want to put our trust in someone that's going to do us good and not evil all the days of our life. That's a woman who is worthy of our trust. We're not going to trust in anything less. We shouldn't trust in anything less. But Proverbs 3 verse 5 gives a command, trust in the Lord. Trust that He's going to take care of you. Trust that He's not going to spoil you. Trust that He's not going to let you down. Trust that you don't have a need for worry. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 28 shows us that some people put their trust in the wrong places. It uses the same word and it says, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." There's a lot of places we could put our trust, but that are going to fall. Maybe you're still in Proverbs chapter 31. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, and verse number 26. Because some people will say, well, man, I don't know if I want to put complete confidence in God. I've never met him. I don't even know the validity of the Bible. And mostly talking about an unsaved person here, saying, man, that's really hard for me to do. Why wouldn't I just trust in my own mind, in my own heart? Because what's going on there? I can trust myself because I know everything about myself, right? Well, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 says that he that trusteth in his own heart, they're a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And so when Proverbs says, put your trust in the Lord, and again, it emphasizes with all of thine heart, this trust is wholehearted. You're not trusting in anything else. Because if I put my trust in myself and in my own wisdom and I try to go through life, God looks at that and he says, that is extremely foolish to do. Why in the world would you do that? This is a wholehearted trust. And it's a trust that leaves room for no other trust. There's nothing else to lean on. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. It's wholehearted. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't support yourself with your own thinking or your own wisdom. That's not the way to get through life. If you trust in yourself, you're going to fail. You're a fool, the Bible says. And we may go through life and we say, okay, I think I know what the best thing is in this situation. We need to make sure we take it to God first. And that we don't just take it to him in prayer, but then we run to God's word where we get wisdom. And practical wisdom at that. If it doesn't state it explicitly, the Bible will give you principles to help you. Don't say, I think I know what is best here. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You cannot trust yourself. You may say, well, my way is better than God's way. No, it's not. He that trusteth in his own self is a fool, we were just told. You may say, my way is easier than God's way. Aha, I got you there. My way is going to be easier than God's way. Well, Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I remember as a kid hearing stories about this all the time. And good literature for children is so great. Where you'd have, and I think this was a pirate story in other places as well, it's like they're in Cold Hardica. Girls, do you know Cold Hardica? That's a really old one. Maybe, maybe not. That's okay. But they're there and they see this path that's going straight up the mountain and the map says, you need to go on that path. And then there's this path that's heading down the mountain where there's no snow and everything and it looks like it's heading in the same direction. And they say, let's go that path. And there's a whole song about stick to the map. You know, stay the path. Well, there's a way that can seem right to us, but that end is going to be a way of death. And so we may say, no, God, I don't want to go your way. Lord, you tell me I have to take up my cross and follow you. God, I don't want that. I'm going to go my own way. Lord, I don't want to live for you. That's foolish. That's the way to death. You may say, well, things are different now. You may say, well, science says otherwise. I mean, a lot of people have been saying that with Genesis chapter 1. You know, where it says the evening and the morning were the first day. I don't know how you get more clear than that. God specifically said evening and morning. I don't think he's talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of years there. Well, science says otherwise. Well, guess what? I don't care what science says. I don't care what my own eyes tell me. If I'm seeing something that contradicts the Bible says put more stock in what I say than even what you're seeing and sensing in front of you. Don't lean on your own understanding, even if you think your understanding is really accurate. It's only accurate if it lines up with what the Bible says. A trust in God eliminates all other trusts. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We'll come to that verse in a second, but this verse, Proverbs 26 verse 12, verse number 7 is the verse I meant to read. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Because right after it says, trust in the Lord, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. A lot of us like to be wise in our own eyes. A lot of people who will debate with you over the Bible, they're wise in their own eyes. But I already gave the verse away, Proverbs 26, verse 12. And that word conceit there, that's the same phrase, be thou wise in his own eyes. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Do you see a person that's wise in their own eyes? Proverbs says there's more hope for a fool than for that person. And that's saying something. Maybe if you haven't taken anything else away from the series in Proverbs, you know a fool is not a good person. A fool despises wisdom and instruction. Proverbs opens up telling us. And what that is, someone that hates God and hates wisdom, they're in a better place to be reconciled to God than a person that just doesn't think they need God at all. God, I don't need you. I don't hate you. I just think you're childish. Lord, I'm beyond that. I've achieved the next level. Proverbs says it would be better for you if you hated and despised the Lord than if you had that attitude of saying, God, I don't need you. Because someone that hates God, they can learn about God and learn to love Him. But someone that just doesn't even want to take the time to have anything to do with God because they don't need them, if there's no need for God, you're not going to learn anything about God. And so we must have a trust that is so wholeheartedly dependent upon God that we're not leaning on ourselves at all whatsoever. And you may say, well, to what extent does this go? I mean, is God's word truly enough? There's a lot of situations that come up today that the Bible doesn't explicitly deal with. You know, what about abortion? What about, marijuana? What about all these other things? Those are just two really random examples. You could talk about homosexuality, a lot of those things. I heard a story once that someone one time stood up in our nation's Senate and said, I'm going to say everything that Jesus had to say about homosexuality. He stood up, stood there quietly for 5 seconds, and then sat back down. Basically, he was saying the Bible says nothing on this topic. And that's not true, first of all. We can go back, and the Bible is full of that. But you may say, okay, the Bible is irrelevant. A lot of people say that today. Do I have to acknowledge God? Do I have to lean on God for everything? And you know where I'm going with this. Verse number 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So we must be confident in God's wisdom. And then secondly, and this goes even just to being confident to God, we must look to God in everything. Every single thing. All of thine ways. All inclusive. Everything. I'm tired of saying all and everything, but I could go on and say that again and again, because how often do we say, no, you know what? I don't need God in this circumstance. No, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, a lot of familiar verses for us tonight, but it's good to be reminded of some quote-unquote basic things. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's given us scripture that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What's the point there? Scripture gives us every single thing we need to be completely equipped for the Christian life. Whether it was in 60 AD or whether it's in 2022 AD, the Bible promises to give us every single thing that we need to live the Christian life. And so, coming back to Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all of thy ways, because Scripture gives us everything for every choice, even if it's not a thou shalt not do this or thou shalt do this, aren't you glad that God didn't do that? Glad, I mean, it would be really nice sometimes, but could you imagine trying to read through your Bible in a year? If God specifically addressed every single question you would ever have, you couldn't read through the Bible in a year. You couldn't read through the Bible in your lifetime. I have way more questions about some things that some of you will never have to confront. A lot of you have questions about things I'll never have to confront because I'm not in your situation. But the Bible does give us principles to apply to every single circumstance that we face. I mean, just even the principle, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just the principle, God, what's going to bring you the most glory in this decision? Man, that can apply to every single circumstance. It could be something as simple as, updating our nursery or something like that. Saying, well, Lord, we want to bring you the most glory. And man, I think this would be best in here. And this, man, that looks really nice. We want everything to be fitting and appropriate here in your house. Proverbs or the Bible, the rest of the Bible, doesn't tell us how to set up a church nursery. We can take principles from Scripture. There are a lot of other things that could apply as well. That's just a really silly example. But in everything, we should look to God. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Now, this word acknowledge Him, this is a really interesting and kind of hard to exactly define what it means to acknowledge God. I'll tell you what it's not. This is not just simply, okay, Lord, I'm going to go on this path and, hi, Lord, yes, I see you, I'm acknowledging you, and now I'm going to keep going forward. You know, it's not like somebody's walking down an aisle for graduation or for something else and they see their parents and it's just a quick little wave off to the side saying, I'm acknowledging you and now I'm going to keep going on my path. No, that's not what that is. This isn't even a quick little prayer saying, Lord, please be with me in this decision. I'm going to go forward with it. No, actually, remember in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, when it said to know wisdom, and we said that's an intimate knowledge there, talking about a husband-wife relationship. This is the exact same word here. So when we're talking about acknowledging, you could almost say, in all of thy ways, know God intimately, and He will direct thy paths. And so one commentator talked about just the importance of having such a close relationship with God and having God's presence right there with you. That was an interesting noise. Hopefully nothing's falling. But having God directly with us and having God right there with us, just like a husband and wife should be together in every decision that they make. They should be one going forward. Well, God's given us His Spirit. And so this isn't just a casual acknowledgement saying, yes, God, I see you. This is at least talking about having an intimate knowledge of God and a perfect relationship with God, saying, Lord, we are going through with this together. If you're not coming with me, God, I don't want to go down this path. In all of your ways, make sure you're doing nothing to break up that intimate relationship with God. In all of your ways, have God right there with you. Because when God is right there with you, He will direct you. And that's our final point tonight. Be confident in God's wisdom. In everything, look to God. God will direct you on straight paths. Because really that word there, when it says, He shall direct thy paths, the word for direct there really has the idea of making something straight. You think of shining a light, shining a straight light, saying, this is the path to go on. And what it's meaning there is that God will lead us on straight paths, straight righteous paths. It's interesting. Oh, I forgot to put this verse in there. But Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 8. Go ahead and flip to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 8, since I forgot to put it in the PowerPoint. Because this uses the same word here where it says God will direct our paths. And I think it's important for us to see this. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 8. It says, lead me, O Lord, and it's not the word there for lead. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Here's our word, make thy way straight before my face. And so really here, when it says God will do this for you, when you trust in Him, when you live in God, if you live in this wonderful relationship with God and you're going forward together in everything that you do, God is going to be with you. He's going to make your path straight. He's going to lead you in righteousness. You think of places in Proverbs where it says, remove thy foot from evil, turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Let your eyes ponder the path of your feet. Let all of your ways be established. That's at the end of Proverbs chapter 4. Well, what Proverbs chapter 3 is promising us is if we trust in the Lord and if we acknowledge Him and we keep our focus on Him, we're not going to stray off the path that God has for us. God is going to keep us walking the straight path. Now, I saw a quote, and I thought this was an interesting quote, but God sometimes makes a straight path with crooked lines. And you zoom out, and you see the straight path, but it felt really crooked while you were on it. And I wasn't sure exactly how I felt about that, but if that's helpful and good in your mind, you can use that. Not all things are helpful for the same people, but sometimes we're walking a path, and sometimes straight and wonderful and perfect. Sometimes we think that path looks better, and so we're like, okay, the Lord's going to take me that. No, stay here. I'm going to keep you on this path, even though it looks hard and difficult. But also, God's going to remove the boundaries and the pitfalls of sin that we would have going our own way. That's another implication of God saying, I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to keep you on the straight and narrow path. It may not always be easy, but God says, I'll promise you this. It'll be better than if you would have gone down your own path. This is the best path for you to walk on, and we have to trust God in that. Because the way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I may not like this path, but God, you are the one that knows the steps that I should take. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's what we want. We want God to uphold us. We want to lean on him. We want to let him direct us and guide us. If you turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, and you look down to verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 23, it continues this thought saying, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And if you look down to chapter 4 and verse 12, talking again about gaining wisdom and following in God, trusting him, you could say, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Instead, follow the path that God chooses for you. People are going to entice you. People are going to say, hey, come this way. Come follow me. Your own flesh is going to entice you. No, don't listen to what the Bible says in this area. Go this way. It's going to be okay. The devil is very tricky. He's elusive and he's looking about for people whom he may devour. So let's make sure we keep our trust and we keep our confidence in God. And I do hope our confidence in God and his word has been increased every time we hear it preached, every time we work through a book verse by verse. I know it's been great in the mornings with Pastor Byford when he's been able to be here to hear Ephesians preached verse by verse and to say, oh wow, I never saw that before. It increases your confidence and really your astonishment at some of the things that God has put in his word, saying, wow, there's a whole lot here. I know working through Proverbs, I've been encouraged and have even gained confidence in how practical it's been. To say, man, I could go get a bunch of parenting books, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but as our child comes into the world, I could go get a bunch of parenting books, or I could start just looking at what Proverbs has to say. And Proverbs deals with way more than you would expect. And you read a parenting book, and they give a lot of great ideas, but so often they don't give Bible verses, and you're like, did you get that from the Bible, or did you come up with that? Because that was really wise. And then you go and read the Bible, and it's like, no, they didn't come up with that. They got that from God. And so I hope our confidence has been increased in God's word and the practicality of it. And I know it's been encouraging for me, but the admonition for each one of us as we leave a series in Proverbs and we start another series. I believe Pastor Byford will be picking something up on Sunday nights for a little while. But as he does that and as we read our own Bibles, to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let your word keep influencing me and guiding me. Because if nothing else, I took away from our series in Proverbs, don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, Lord, I'm going to walk forward with you, and I'm going to let you direct my paths. I'm going to let you make my paths straight. Lord, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And so we must take our decisions to God in prayer. Ask God for wisdom. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask above, where God will give us liberally and upbraideth not. But then after we ask for wisdom, a lot of us stop right there. You know, where we're lazy, fat Americans, which isn't entirely true, but a lot of the rest of the world looks at us that way, where we just have all the comforts handed to us. We don't know the meaning of hard work sometimes, and so we sit there and we say, okay, Lord, just give me wisdom, and I'll sit here and I'll wait for it to happen. You know, I'll turn on the TV while I wait for that to happen, but Lord, please give me wisdom. Well, ask him for wisdom, but then remember where he's going to give us his wisdom from. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of God. And it's through Scripture that the man of God is thoroughly furnished and equipped for every good work. So we must bathe our mind in God's Word. Ask for wisdom from God, and then go and dig deeply in God's Word and do this repeatedly for every decision we face in our lives. If you're not consistently in God's Word every day, that's the place to start. How are you going to know where to go with your life if you're not in God's counsel every day? It's going to be much harder for you when a big comes and you're saying, I know the Bible says something about this somewhere. Let me Google it. Sometimes that helps. But again, don't be lazy. When you do personal Bible study, it comes alive like nothing else. I don't know the last time it was where you said, okay, I am really struggling with this. I have this sin issue in my life. Or man, I have this huge decision. What does the Bible have to say about that? And you spend hours saying, Lord, give me wisdom, and then studying in His Word. God's going to honor the work that you put into that. And God will direct you. He'll make you walk on that straight path. God doesn't want the righteous life to be obscure for us. God wants us to do what's right. So often it's our flesh and it's our own minds and it's the circumstances around us that cloud our vision. And then we must say, no, Lord, get all of that out of my mind. I only want to know what you have to say on this because I'm getting so much from so many other places. Lord, what do you want me to do? And again, Proverbs doesn't discourage a multitude of counselors. There is safety. The Bible itself will tell you, go talk to other godly people in your lives. Find yourself a good friend. But ultimately, we must run all decisions back through the grid of God's Word to say, Lord, I'm going to put my complete confidence in you. Lord, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. God, if I'm being honest, that path right there, even Lord, not only does it look nice, I truly think that is what would honor and glorify you. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. God alone knows what is truly best. And to say, Lord, from everything I can understand, that is the path that would bring you the most glory. But God, before I take that step, I'm going to make sure of that, and I'm going to run this by you and bathe it in prayer and bathe it in Scripture. Lord, I want my whole heart to be trusting in you. I don't want to lean or let myself be supported by my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you in all of my ways, and Lord, I'm going to claim that promise that you're going to direct my paths. Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to make my way straight before me so that when I take this step, I'm not going to stumble. Then the admonition in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and strength, or you could say marrow, to thy bones. Again, going back to this morning, talking about joy. When we're living a life that is dependent upon God, that's the best way to live life. That's the blessings of the righteous that God gives to us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but that delights in the law of the Lord. And so we say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to lean wholly on you. Lord, every decision I want to run through your word, through your grid. God, help us to do that. I hope that is our prayer, our heart's desire. And not just that it's our desire where we say, yes, that's the right thing to do, but where we say, okay, Lord, now I'm going to live that. I don't know what decisions we're being faced with. I know some decisions that different people have, not just one or two or three, but we all have decisions in our lives, big decisions. And we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you for that. Give me guidance. Give me direction for that. And God promises to do that when we lean wholeheartedly on Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the book of Proverbs. Lord, thank you even for the conviction from very simple verses that maybe we've learned since we've been children. Lord, I pray that in all of our ways, in every single decision that we face, we would not lean on our own understanding. Lord, we think we know the right way. We think we know the path that is right, but there are so many paths that end in death and end in judgment. Lord, I pray that you would guide us through your word. Lord, please give us wisdom. You promise to give wisdom when we ask and when we seek for it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, we claim those promises tonight. And Lord, I pray that your word would be our guide in every decision. Lord, no decision is too small to be run by you. You care so much for us. I pray that we would trust you and that we would run to you for guidance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our head bowed and our eyes closed. We won't have any piano playing tonight. I think it's good for all of us to just take some time, to even just have some silent time. And let's just pray and reflect with God and say, okay, Lord, what is it maybe in my life that I haven't been leaning on you? I've been leaning on myself. Let's just take about 30 seconds to 60 seconds and just say, Lord, give me grace to follow you through life.